Heavenly Father, this morning as we open your word, may you open our hearts too. May we hear your voice speaking to us to challenge us and to move us. Will you grow our faith today, please? In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'd like for you to answer this question in your heart and use it as the lens through which you listen to the rest of the message. Here's the question. We'll put it on the screen for you. What is your greatest fear? What is your greatest fear? If you went over to Fleece, you walked into the kindergarten room, and you asked those kids, what is your greatest fear? I bet you get some funny answers. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of dinosaurs. I'm afraid of alligators and bears. You probably hear a lot of those. And maybe those are yours as well, but no matter what you're afraid of, we all have fears. So what's your greatest fear? The greatest fear. Before my family moved to Florida, living in Atlanta, we decided to spend the big bucks. We decided to buy once and cry once and get it over with and get it out of our system and take our kids, as every parent duty feels like they have to do, and take our kids to Disney World. So we bought annual passes living in Atlanta, and we said it's a 7-hour drive. You know, we can leave on a Sabbath afternoon and get down there Sabbath evening, and then we can go Sunday and drive home on Sunday too if we have to. But about every month, for an entire year, my family went to Disney World. Every month, we at least one trip to Disney World. And it was a lot of fun. It was the most expensive year of my life. Because it's not just the tickets, it's the hotels and it's the food, and you know what it is. But Disney World's got some really fun things to do, especially some of those roller coasters. You go to Epcot, you get to ride Soarin' and Test Track and Cosmic Rewind. That will rewind your mind, I'll tell you what, my goodness. You go to Animal Kingdom, you've got some good rides over there. Of course, Hollywood Studios Rockin' Roller Coaster, somebody. I mean, there's some great rides there. And as I thumbed through the pictures of our year at Disney, I noticed something of all these pictures. See, on most of these roller coasters, there's a high-speed camera at the most intense moment of the ride, and it will take your picture. And what I noticed in all these pictures is fear. Would you like to see some of these pictures today? I'm glad you answered that. Like this one. Here it is, Space Mountain. Look at these little boys, little guys there. Look at Caffrey in the back. That is pure fear. Kanan up front, got his hair blowing back. Me in the middle, not so much hair blowing back, but there's a little hair there. Or how about this next one? This is Rock and Roller Coaster. Look at Caffrey. Look at Jen. Kanan and I had to sit out on this one because he wasn't quite tall enough for that ride, but it was fun. And then if you go to Animal Kingdom, there's lots of good rides there, but one of my favorites is Everest. Here's a picture of that one. Now don't zoom in yet, but you can see the crew there. Everest is a fantastic ride. If you haven't been there, you get in the little car and you go all the way up to the top of Mount Everest where a Yeti destroys the track, and then you go backwards in the dark down Everest. It's terrifying. Should we zoom in a little bit? Yeah. Let's zoom in a little bit. Okay, let's zoom in one more time. Look at Kanan. Oh, terrifying. Oh, man. Fear is a real thing. Everybody has fears. And the fear has the ability to cripple you from doing anything that you want to do. In fact, it has the ability to just freeze you in your tracks. It has the ability to keep you from following your calling as a fearless warrior for Jesus. And today I'm hoping and praying that you'll hear this message and that it'll speak to your heart and that it'll scare the fear right out of you. If you've got your Bible, I invite you to open it to Numbers chapter 13. And if you didn't bring a Bible, you can use the Pew Bible, the blue book in front of you, and open to page 105 where you will follow along where I am. Numbers chapter 13. I'll give you some context while you're turning there. The children of Israel, they've been traveling through the desert, and they've seen some really cool stuff. God's led them out of Egypt. He split the sea for them to walk through on dry ground. He has provided good water out of bitter water. He's provided water out of a rock. He's provided miracle manna. Their shoes aren't wearing out. They're seeing all these parts of how God is protecting them and caring for them. But they get to a point where they are complaining as usual. Moses is walking through the camp one day, and he hears complaining about how they're tired of eating manna. Come on, God, give us something better. And so he talks to God, and he says, God, what can you do? They want meat. And so God provides quail that come in off the sea, and the Bible describes it as the quail were 3 feet deep, covering the ground for as far as you could walk in a day. That's a lot of quail. It's amazing. God can provide, can't he? It's amazing. So they're in this place called the Desert of Paran. It's in the middle of the Sinai Peninsula. And we pick up our story in Numbers chapter 13 as they're thinking about moving into Canaan. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, here's what it says. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. You've got the names of all the leaders. Jump down to verse 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Oh, and by the way, do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. In my Bible, in parentheses, it says, it was the season for the first ripe grapes. And you know this story. Moses wants the details. He's the leader. He's taken 2.5 million people into this promised land, this land of Canaan. He's never been there before. Never gets to go either. And as he's heading into there, he wants to know the details of what the land looks like. So he sends these 12 spies, and they go in there, and they see everything. In fact, they bring some fruit back. The fruit was so big that they take a cluster of grapes, and they stick a pole through it, and two dudes have to carry it back. Now, when I go to Aldi and get my grapes, I just put them in the cart. These grapes were cantaloupes. They're watermelon size. Two guys carrying them back. And when they get back, they start to give their report. Here's what happens, verse 26, Numbers 13, verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit, but, that's what my Bible says, but. There's always a but, isn't there? Your future looks wonderful, but. You're gonna make a wonderful spouse one day, but. You're gonna be financially stable and debt-free, but. Your health diagnosis is good, but you're going to succeed in college, but why is it that with all the good things, with all the dreams, with all the visions, with all the aspirations, everything that you have in life, there's always a but? And so often that huge but is fear. Verse 28 tells the rest of the story. I like this part of the story. Here's what it says. But the people who live there are powerful. Am I in the right verse? Yes. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. These guys are terrified. They're so worried about the future. They can't see past the fear that they have. They're afraid. They say, look at these guys. Everybody's big. There's muscular there. Their cities are fortified. It's fear. And so often it's fear like this that holds you and me back in life too. It makes you a slave, keeps you from moving forward into the beautiful vision and calling that God has for your life because you're scared. Fear immobilizes and paralyzes you and keeps you from doing what you want or what God wants for you to do. See, here are the Israelites. They're knocking on the door to the promised land. It's promised. God said, I will give it to you. And when God gives you a promise, he always keeps his promises. He says, I will give you this promised land, yet they're scared. In fact, they can't see past their fear. They forget about how huge the grapes were because they see how huge their enemies were. And all they can think about is their fear. See, I realize that in our church, if you're here this morning, if you're watching online, that you have fear too. Everybody has fear. All of us have it. Not too long ago, I was walking on the church campus, and I'm a walker and a talker. I don't think I can talk on the phone without moving. Are some of you guys like that too? I'm literally, Carlos, you and me are the only ones. Thank you, Todd Chobotar. Excellent. Four or five of us. Excellent. I have to walk. I can't think and talk if I'm doing it. And so I'm walking around, and I see a piece of trash in the grass while I'm walking, and I go over and I pick up this piece of trash, and it's one of the cards from the pews. It's a prayer card. And so it's front and back, and so I read it. Listen, this is from one of the young people. It's what it says. Listen. Hello, God. I hope you read this. Please make some time to read this. God, I need help really seriously. Help. I'm being bullied, and I don't want to go to school. God, you can do everything. God, I'm lonely. I don't have friends anymore. Please help me. I'm begging you. Do you hear the fear in their voice, in their heart? They didn't even want to go to school. They're afraid. The same week I get that little card I find, I get an email from another young person. Here's what it says. Things have been kind of confusing for me, Pastor Matt. I've taken a look at the world and what we face each day, and I've let myself be consumed by fear. It's like every time you turn around, there's something bad going on. It's made me question if the Lord is real or not. I tell myself that he is real, and one day he's going to come back to take us home, but someone is always coming up with a reason not to believe. It feels like my path is just getting darker. You hear the fear in there? And I know that you have fears too. We all do. Fear of not being good enough, or fear of not being a good parent, or fear of not being safe, or fear of being taken advantage of in relationships and so you don't make yourself vulnerable, or fear of being pushed to the side and being marginalized, or fear of being profiled or arrested or deported or even killed because of the color of your skin. Fear of losing your job. Fear of the future. Maybe fear of someone finding out about your past. Fear of not being ready when Jesus comes. Fear's real. And even if your fear is completely irrational, it will cripple you and hold you back from enjoying the promises of God, the promises that he's planned for you. Fear keeps you away from the promises. And what's crazy is that this book is filled with the promises of God. They're all over the place. Here's just a few of them. Like in Deuteronomy 38, listen to this one. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, do not be afraid. Here's one in the book of Isaiah. Love this one. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that a great promise? How about this one in Joshua? You know this one well. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you for wherever you go. See, the way I see fear is that fear restrains you. It holds you back. It puts chains on you. It won't let you move forward. It won't let you know what God's plans are for you, because you can never get there. It won't let you understand that God is continually sustaining you and giving you life, and that he has a beautiful plan for you. Fear restrains you, yet faith releases you. When fear holds you back, faith gives you freedom. Fear holds you in chains, and faith breaks every chain. And watch what Caleb does as the entire Israelite community is stuck in their fear cycle. Verse 30, here's what it is. This is my boy. Here's what he says. Verse 30, Caleb silenced the people before Moses, and he said, y'all, it's right in my Bible, y'all, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. That's my guy. Come on, Caleb. The Bible says that he silenced the people, and I don't know how he did it. I don't know if he just went, shh, or if he pulled one out of the old principal bag where he said, if you can hear my voice, clap once. If you can hear my voice, clap. I don't know what, maybe he stood up on a chair and he just said, quiet. But he follows it up with his beautiful heart of faith, and he says, come on, guys. This land is ours. God has already promised it to us. We don't need to be afraid of how big or how small we are, because our God is bigger than all of them, and he's already given us the land, so let's go. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. Here's what it says, just a few verses later. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, they tore their clothes, and they said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." Man, Caleb and Joshua, they speak into my life, and they shout at my fear, and I hope they shout at yours too, as they say, "Shh, God's got promises for you. He's got wonderful plans for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And even though you're afraid, even though you've got fear, God is bigger than your fear. He's bigger than your doubt. He's bigger than your worry. He's bigger than your anxiety. He's bigger than your weakness." He says, "Do not be afraid." I feel like this is where the gospel comes into play, because our human eyesight is just in our current circumstances. It's just what we can see right in front of us. We live in the here and now. We don't ever live in the then. We live right in front of us because that's all we can see. And when fear gets in the way, you can't see beyond that barrier. And I wonder what it was like for Jesus in those last few days of his life here before the cross. I wonder if he was afraid. I mean, we know he couldn't see past the tomb. He couldn't see past the grave. All he could see was eternal separation from his Father. And I wonder if he gets stuck in between what he knows he is called to do, which is to die for all of humanity and save all of humanity, and the fear that he has. I wonder if he was afraid. And I wonder what his fear was like, that he might be disconnected from his Father forever. 1 John 4:8 says this, that perfect love casts out what? Fear. Perfect love casts out fear. And so Jesus breaks the chains of fear, and his perfect love for you and me reaches past the fear, beyond the fear. It obliterates the fear, it overcomes the fear, and it puts an end to the fear. And I'm so glad it did. But there's more, because I think there's a calling for us in this whole thing, and it's in 1 Timothy, or maybe 2 Timothy. Here's what it says, 2 Timothy 2:7. As this is through the words of Paul to you and me, it says this, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That means that your fear is not from God. In fact, it's something that's holding you back from being close to God. Or we'll put it this way, and I hope you get this, we'll put it on the screen. Your fear is killing your faith. In this trust, faith-based relationship with humans and God, fear is a faith killer. And so you end up being faced with a choice. You choose. Will it be faith or fear? You choose. Do you choose to crumble and cower as fear controls you? Or do you boldly step forward in faith, believing that God goes before you and will never leave you nor forsake you? You choose. On one of those many trips from Atlanta down to Orlando to go to the happiest place on earth, where all you can hear is the sound of babies crying, traveling down I-75, our family's talking about going to Disney World, and we'd been there many times at this point. We're thinking about all the rides, and one of the kids said the word Avatar. Oh, we started talking. That's a great ride over there in Animal Kingdom. You know the one, some of you. You go in the front, you're going around that middle section, you take a left, and suddenly you're in the land of Pandora. It looks like this. Here's a picture of it on the screen. It's completely different. You're immersed in Pandora. It's completely different than anywhere else. Some of you have seen it from the backside, and you know exactly what it looks like. It's beautiful. You're in this gorgeous place. It's another world. And inside the land of Pandora is the ride Avatar, Flight of Passage. It's pretty cool. I think it's better than Soarin' by far. It's a great ride. Now, one of the times we'd come down here, the whole family had gone in there, and we waited in line for 3.5 hours just to get up to the top. We'd paid money for 3.5 hours of waiting. We get in there, you go into this bioengineering whatever place, and they're making these weird looking banshees, which is kind of like this dragon. I don't even know how to describe it. And you get into this room, here's a picture of the room. This is the in room here, and you climb on these banshees. This is your dragon that you ride, and it's kind of like a motorcycle. You get on it, and you can feel this animal breathing between your legs, just like a horse, like you're riding a horse. And I remember the whole family lined up there, got on these things. There's clamps that come up behind your legs and hold your legs in. I was next to Kanan, and when those clamps hit his legs, and there's another clamp that comes behind your back, he about lost his mind. Poor guy, he thought, what are you doing? He didn't want to go that time, and so he and Jen stepped out and they watched the ride. But on this trip down, we were talking about Avatar, and as we were talking about it, Kanan said, I don't think I want to ride it, Daddy. And we said, buddy, you're going to love it, man. It's like you're flying. It's completely safe. You'll enjoy it, man. I don't think I want to do it. So we got into Animal Kingdom on one of the days while we were there, and we were walking around, and all of a sudden, Kanan said, I think I want to ride Avatar, Daddy. I said, okay, buddy, you're going to love it. And he said, Daddy, I'll go with you as long as you'll keep me safe. Well, it's cute, but it's terrifying, because if it's the worst experience of his life, guess who he was trusting? So we waited in line another 3 hours, and we finally get in there, get all situated. Now, there's handlebars on these little motorcycle things, these banshees that you're supposed to hold on to. Kanan didn't want to hold on to those. He wanted to hold my hand, and he wanted to hold his mommy's hand, too. And so we're sitting there, and those clamps came up behind his legs, and he looked at me with fear in his eyes. Daddy, is it going to be okay? And that clamp came up behind him. Daddy, is it going to be okay? You're going to be all right, buddy. Holding my hand, holding mama's hand. And pretty soon we were flying together. I don't remember much of the ride because I spent the whole time looking at his face to see how he was handling it. But the whole time he's squeezing the hand of his dad, trusting his dad. And whether he had fear or not, his faith in his dad overcame the fear. I don't know what your fear is that you're facing this morning, your greatest fear. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I hope that your faith is so much stronger than your fear. I hope that your choice this morning is that you choose faith over your fear. Because our church wants you to grow in your faith, as you leave today, there's a table in the lobby with a small book. It's a beautiful book that just lifts up Jesus. It's written by an incredible man of God that loves Jesus more than anything. His name is Don McClafferty, and you may know that name. That's Pastor Julie's dad. And as you leave today, feel free to grab one of those and read through it. It's an easy, quick read, and it will grow your faith. Or maybe you take it and give it to someone that was invited to Risen, that you invited, to give it to them to grow their faith. But either way, your faith will grow because of it. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this morning, I'm challenged to put my faith in you beyond the fear that I have. May you be close to each and every one of us. God, we love you, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.